and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join us today. We want to continue our mini-series called Reckoning 375 about the project to replace I-375 on the east side of downtown Detroit with a boulevard. There are lots of opinions about the plans to do this. There are lots of controversies that have come up in the discussions about replacing I-375, which was one of the things that helped destroy two really important Detroit neighborhoods. Paradise Valley and Black Bottom were majority black parts of the city that went away after Lafayette Park and I-375 were constructed. But in all of the discussions of those plans and the criticisms of the way that this has all come together, one of the really important aspects is understanding what's really being talked about. The Michigan Department of Transportation has been put in charge of this project, largely because it's a highway project and they are responsible for all the highways that we have in our state. We wanted to talk with them about where the idea to replace I-375 came from and how we've worked across time to get to this point where they have a pretty good idea of what they want to do with replacing I-375. One thing I want to make clear about this interview, it's not an attempt to undermine or even really criticize what MDOT has decided to do here. There are times and places in this mini-series where we will give voice to lots of people who are upset about what's happening with I-375 or concerned that it doesn't address the things that they would like to see remediated. Today, what we wanted to do, though, is just hear from MDOT about what they're doing and why they're doing it, but also talk with them a bit about how they're trying to include the communities that surround I-375 in the process. We talked with Jonathan Laurie, who is a project manager with the Michigan Department of Transportation and the lead manager on the I-375 Rebuilding Communities Project. Jonathan, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
So let's talk about where this idea comes from. I-375 has been a part of the freeway system here in Detroit since the 1960s. All of a sudden now, we're talking about making something else in that space. Let's go back to the beginning, about 10 years ago, really, when this idea first surfaced.
Yeah, there's been a lot of work done to get to where we are today. Actually, there was an original study back in 2000 looking at the freeway reconstruction then and how it could potentially tie into the riverfront. At that point in time, it was to support casinos along the riverfront, which did not come to fruition. And in 2014, the City of Detroit, the Downtown Development Authority, actually led a planning environmental linkages study in partnership with MDOT and the Riverfront Conservancy, taking a deeper dive and looking at the 375 project and how it serves the city and how it serves the riverfront and the type of connections that that makes. And really looking at, when we come to reconstruct this infrastructure, should it be reconstructed the way it is today? Or should it be a boulevard? What would that boulevard look like? Is it a combination of freeway and boulevard? And that study came up with six different alternatives for the boulevard and a couple different alternatives for the interchange. But ultimately, that study did not come to a decision on which one to move forward with. So the Michigan Department of Transportation started in 2017. We started an environmental assessment to pick up where the planning and environmental linkages study left off and look at those alternatives and work with the community and stakeholders around downtown Detroit to come up with an alternative that we could move forward with into design and construction. And so that started in 2017. we basically went through and, using a selection criteria, using our purpose and need for the project, got to a selected alternative that is a boulevard that is aligned with the west side of the existing I-375 freeway. We actually ended up through that process completely reconfiguring the interchange of I-375 with I-75 and the Gratiot Connector. Mm-hmm. And we found that that really complemented the change to the boulevard that allowed us to also bring the Gratiot Connector, which is another freeway arm that extends to the east up to grade, and make those more of an urban street and serve the city's growth better. And also how we move that traffic around. The interchange allows us to have stronger connections with the I-75 service drives to the north, and really complements the conversion to the boulevard nicely.
Yeah. You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm glad you've joined. We're talking right now with Jonathan Lorry, who is a project manager for the Michigan Department of Transportation. He is in charge of the I-375 Rebuilding Communities Project. So in simpler terms, really, what we're doing is taking a freeway, a highway, and making it back into a street. First, I want to talk about that street that you hope to create where I-375 is, and then talk about the fact that this is a recreation, really, of a street, because before there was I-375, there was a street there. But let's start with just the idea of this street. Talk about the street you hope to create in place of I-375 and why it's the plan MDOT has settled on.
Yeah, really, it's a boulevard street that's intended to serve a multimodal purpose. It's a street that the city can grow around. It's a street that also has a smaller footprint than the freeway, so it has opportunities for property redevelopment or public spaces or land use or placemaking around the street. We really spare no expenses when it comes to the multimodal options in the corridor. So we have wide sidewalks on the west side along the Central Business District, about 20 feet wide. We have a two-way cycle track and 10-foot sidewalks on the east side, providing a strong northwest or north-south cycle track connection to the riverfront, and that also ties up into the Brush Park area. And then we have also some stronger connections east-west along Montcalm Street. It is a boulevard that does need to serve a lot of great destinations in Detroit, whether it be the riverfront, the stadiums, Greektown, downtown, and the east side in East Riverfront, and there still is a major connection to those destinations. So we've really been working hard to look at ways to make sure that we balance the needs of all users within that corridor and really do it in an equitable way.
So let's talk about what was there before, which was kind of the backbone of two neighborhoods that also used to exist in that area, Paradise Valley and Black Bottom. How similar to what used to be there is what I-375 is imagining now?
Our goal is to really honor the history of those neighborhoods within the project and within the corridor. The Hastings Street that was there before was a different time for the city. It certainly is not a street that can be recreated today, but we want to make sure that we honor what that street was in the past. We're looking at opportunities for how the spaces can be used. To honor that, we're looking at public art opportunities for historic markers or historic programs within the area. And we also even identified in our environmental process how the value of the land can help support housing and businesses in that area as well. We want it to honor that path, but it really has to be a road that serves, not only provides some restorative justice for the community that was there, but serves the new community that surrounds it.
You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm glad you've joined. We're talking right now with Jonathan Lurie, who is a project manager for the Michigan Department of Transportation. He is in charge of the I-375 Rebuilding Communities Project. I want to have you talk just a little more about why recreating Hastings Street or something like Hastings Street isn't possible. You say that's not a possibility here. Can you explain why that's true?
Different times, if you look at a lot of how people move around the city, it's changed. The freeway system has the original street grid that was there, really, with the urban renewal that occurred in Lafayette Park. You know, all these streets that went right into the Central Business District all extended, you know, out miles to the east, and now there's just not that same connectivity around. We still have to provide connectivity through this corridor for vehicular traffic, but we want to serve all users.
Mm-hmm. When you think about, I guess, from blank slate status, right? Just the very idea of, okay, we've got this highway extension, really, that comes into the city the way it does, and we want to create something new. I guess what would be the restraints that would prevent you from rethinking it in a really grand scale? In other words, why wouldn't the project have imagined that all of what happened could be rethought?
We have to look at everything in its total context, and that we do have to serve our motoring public customers that are coming, you know, in and out of downtown and traveling around the city. We have to make sure that it's a safe boulevard, that we're not creating unsafe scenarios with impatient drivers or intersections that people are having trouble traversing. And we need to make sure that we are not backing up traffic onto the freeways with our interchange. And then we are using federal transportation dollars to build the project. And we have to make sure that we accommodate a certain level of service with our traffic to be using the federal dollars.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about those federal dollars and the restraints that they put on the project. MDOT is the vehicle for spending federal highway money all over, of course, the state of Michigan. And because this is a road that was built with federal funds, MDOT is captaining this idea. But what things does the federal government's involvement prevent us from thinking about or doing in the replacement of I-375?
In general, we have to follow all of the federal rules and regulations. So again, we have to meet a certain level of service on the traffic in terms of how we design the road. And we know we've heard some concerns on the width of the boulevard, and that is something that we are digging into. We're at a 30% design right now, and so we are, you know, able to further refine some of that, and we're actually going to get some newer traffic data to be able to look at the volumes and the traffic that's there and understand the post-pandemic environment and how that may factor into some of the intersections. So we're looking at that. And then we also have the land is purchased with federal and state transportation funds. The excess property that will be excess then has to follow certain disposition processes relative to the federal and state requirements. So those are things that we have to work through as we look at what that land use can be, that land use planning, as well as what community enhancements can come out of that.
I want to talk about the process that you've used to talk with the people who live and work in this area to come up with the design of the project. Talk about where that began and how it's come forward and whether you think it has been sufficient. Have enough people had enough opportunity to talk about what's happening with I-375?
Starting with the Pell, we've always used a local advisory committee. So we've had that type of structure starting in 2014, and then we had one for the environmental assessment, and we have a new one that we have now that we've started design this year. Some of those people are consistent, and then some people are newer to that group. And so that includes residential and stakeholders around the project. And right now we meet with them on a more or less monthly cadence to get feedback on where we are and where we're going. We held a large number of public meetings. We've held two this year for those opportunities to provide feedback. And then afterwards, we put everything online so that we can further, you know, get additional feedback from those that were not able to attend. We typically, we've been sending out postcards for those meetings. So we've done a lot, but I think, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of complex issues to work through on even more than just the road design itself. But as we talk about, you know, the land use planning, so our next step is we'll be kicking off a framework study in partnership with the City of Detroit, really looking at the surrounding areas and some of those needs, community needs, and some of the restorative justice components also that can also work into the project. And so, you know, that's going to be a heavy focus over the next 12 to 18 months. And I think in that process, we realize that we are going to have to be out more in the community. We have done before during the environmental phase. We did some living room meetings, and we would have meetings at some of the co-ops, like their lobby areas. I think that's a strategy that we're looking at dusting off again now, having more listening sessions in the neighborhoods and meeting people where they are as we work through these really complex planning efforts.
When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Jonathan Laurie, project manager for the Michigan Department of Transportation, about the I-375 Rebuilding Communities Project.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
This new year, Life Kit wants to help you succeed, because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to Life Kit from NPR.
This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join us. We're talking with Jonathan Laurie, project manager for the Michigan Department of Transportation and the lead manager on the I-375 Rebuilding Communities Project. When you talk about restorative justice, which you've referred to a couple of times in this conversation, what kinds of things are you imagining will happen or are possible in this project?
MDOT's highlighted a couple of potential pieces, really looking at, there's about 30 acres of excess property. So it's how, you know, that can be used to provide enhancements to the community. So MDOT has committed to using the value of that excess property for community enhancements, and looking a little bit beyond just transportation enhancements. It can also, what we've targeted is honoring that the history of Black Bottom and Paradise Valley, but also looking at how there could be housing support or minority-owned business incubation support and pieces like that. And it's something that is not, you know, MDOT's wheelhouse or specialty. So really, we look to partner heavily with the City of Detroit, as well as nonprofit and philanthropics, to see what kind of opportunities are out there and partnering opportunities to help drive that forward and make that as successful as possible.
How will the process of doing that unfold? And I guess what I'm asking there is how much the community that exists now near I-375 and the communities that were destroyed, not just by I-375, but certainly as part of the construction of the highway and the neighborhood next to it, how are you going about including those voices in the planning and the decision making?
Yeah, that is a big challenge, and that community is no longer adjacent to the project. We do have different community groups that are part of our advisory committee that can help facilitate some of those conversations. We've heard a lot of voices from people that do have that history, whether it be themselves or a family member. But it's a matter of really kind of getting that group together and being able to focus on those elements and really what that can look like as we move through this framework planning process. We still have time. So we anticipate a shovel in the ground for the boulevard work in 2025, but not wrapping up construction until 2028. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, this project has really started out as an infrastructure project in addressing the freeway. But we realize that with the history here, that there's definitely more to it. And so, you know, we're working closely with the city and other partners to make sure that we can, address that the way that we need to. And we will have a lot of work on that in the next couple of years as we continue to progress through the project design.
I want to go back, Jonathan, and have you talk more explicitly about the federal funds that are involved here, the federal grant. If MDOT did not replace I-375 with a boulevard and with a six-lane boulevard, would it threaten that grant money? In other words, is the grant tied to the idea that we create a road that essentially has similar traffic capabilities or potential to the highway itself?
It does put that at risk. So, you know, we've gone through an environmental process and determined, what the project itself is. I do want to say, though, you know, we are at 30% design, and so we do have flexibility in looking at the number of lanes and the traffic and how it uses it. We've done a lot of work on that and understand, you know, we've really focused on trying to minimize the width of that infrastructure, but we still need to serve the vehicular traffic that's moving around the city. It certainly doesn't mean that all those lanes need to stay there forever in perpetuity as the city grows, as, you know, maybe there's more transit options or people start traveling in different ways. You know, a lane could be repurposed if that was the case. But what we're seeing right now with the traffic is that we need those lanes.
Jonathan, is there anything else you'd like to add about the project?
I just don't know if I explained well. Coming out of the environmental assessment, we have the finding of no significant impact. And within that really talks about some of that, you know, the equitable approach that we have in terms of how we develop the land use framework planning and the community enhancements. And then really just some of the benefits of the boulevard. The freeway out there today is 1960, it's nearly 60 years old, and it really needs to be reconstructed. Right now we're out there working on the Larned Bridge and Madison Bridge and just spending a lot of maintenance money just to keep those open. And then how the project as the boulevard design is a much safer layout. We address, you know, the dangerous curves, the I-75 curves in the interchange, the boulevard curve as I-375 dumps into West Jefferson, that curve on the freeway is very dangerous. And then long-term, the project is much more sustainable. It has reduced infrastructure. So we eliminate 15 bridges and 3 pump stations with the project. And we're able to also have a really big impact on stormwater resiliency for the area. That was a big one. And then, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Jonathan Laurie, project manager with the Michigan Department of Transportation. It was really great to have you here to answer these questions about the I-375 project. Thanks so much for joining us on Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, I want to welcome John Gallagher, a former columnist with the Detroit Free Press, to the studio. His latest book is The Englishman and Detroit. He has been following MDOT's I-375 Reconnecting Communities project for an awfully long time. John, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Stephen. Happy to be here.
So I want to start with your reaction to what we heard from MDOT in that conversation. One of the things I always want to make clear about this project is MDOT was assigned this project, and they are an agency that deals with roads. And so their first instinct always is to think about the road and transportation. And some of the frustrations that I have about this project and that other people have about this project don't have anything to do with the purview of what MDOT has been asked to do. But I do want to get your reaction to what they're saying about what they want to do and the process they followed for getting to this point.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Stephen, that, first, John Laurie and his colleagues at MDOT, they're all dedicated professional public workers, and I don't question their integrity or their motivation to do the best for the public. It's just that I think as they balance all these many interests that John talked about, I believe they lean too heavily toward, as you said, roads and traffic efficiency, and not enough to creating the kind of walkable urban neighborhoods that we've done in some places in the city now, downtown, midtown, Corktown, and so on, filled with housing and shops and restaurants. And we could have that, I think, on this Lower East Side, as we used to have with Black Bottom and Paradise Valley years ago. But that, I think the plan, this multiple lane corridor that they're setting up is really more of a void and does not allow for the creation of that kind of walkability. And I guess they wish MDOT had a little more faith that motorists could adjust if we give them a somewhat narrower corridor. In the past, when we narrowed Woodward Avenue in the downtown, mm-hmm. back when we did the Super Bowl, motorists adjusted. When we closed off the intersection of Jefferson at Woodward to create Spirit Plaza, everybody complained, but everybody adjusted. I just think that people will adjust if we go to a somewhat more urbanistic, walkable design than this corridor that they plan now.
Yeah. This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm your host, Stephen Henderson, and I'm really glad you've decided to join. We are continuing our conversations about the project to replace I-375 on the east side of downtown with a new road, get rid of the highway. That has inspired some real important thinking and conversation about the neighborhoods that went away when I-375 and Lafayette Park right next to it were built, Black Bottom and Paradise Valley, are these two majority black neighborhoods in the city that went away because of the things that people decided to build instead. We've been talking a lot about what that means to rethink this project and whether we ought to be rethinking it in a way that would address some of the things that went wrong in that first decision-making process, getting rid of these neighborhoods, what happened to the people, what happened to the businesses. Are there ways that we can bring some sort of justice to those who were wronged in the process? We would love to hear from you on the phones and on social as well. Give us a call and let us know what you make of the Michigan Department of Transportation's plans for I-375. We just heard from John Laurie, a project manager at the MDOT, about how they're rethinking this, what they want to build in the place of I-375 and the process that they went through to get there. Do you think that it makes sense to replace I-375 with a six-lane boulevard that would be essentially the highway, but just at surface level? Do you think we should be more imaginative about what we replace I-375 with? Do you believe that there has been enough community input into this process. This process actually has been going on for a really long time. It has only recently gotten a lot of attention. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you in the conversation that way. John, I want to talk about the way in which we in this community think of transit and roads and communities, and the dissonance, I guess, that kind of exists when we talk about getting from one place to another around here. Jonathan Lurie talked a lot about the need to make sure that people can get to the places that they need to get to on I-375 on this new road. He didn't talk much about the idea of walkable communities, the idea of changing the way that we think about transit to reflect the way that people live right now. I get the sense that that's not just a problem when we think about things like I-375. It's a dissonance that infects almost every conversation we have about how we get around here in Southeast Michigan.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, if you think about all the other efforts the city is going through to reimagine, to recreate a better Detroit, it's all about, we call them 20-minute neighborhoods, or, you know, pink zoning or whatever, where we have these very walkable, dense neighborhoods, lots of housing, lots of cultural amenities, lots of shops and restaurants. And we're seeing those in a lot of different places. The Livernois Avenue of Fashion area, West Village, as I said, Corktown and that area. And it's a totally different conversation than you have when you try to recreate this highway, which, of course, it's three lanes in each direction, but plus the turning lanes and the median and so on. So it's actually really wide. And it's, to me, as I said, it's almost like a void on the east side. Now, maybe since they have 30 more acres will become available, you'll build some stuff in there. And that'll be helpful. Obviously, John mentioned we ought to have more support for Black entrepreneurs. I mean, we should be doing that anyway, right? Mm-hmm. But again, you know, when they went out and they had these public meetings and they surveyed people, the number one response was, you're talking about too many lanes. Can't we narrow the number of lanes? So again, the emphasis on moving traffic, I think, is the wrong one for where we want the city to be right now.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with John Gallagher, a former columnist with the Detroit Free Press who's been following this I-375 project for an awfully long time. We will get going with you, the listeners, on the phones and on social. Frank in South Lyon, Nat in Detroit, Mike in Detroit. We will start with you if you want to join them. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can include you that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. We're continuing our series called Reckoning 375 here on Detroit Today, where we're taking a look at the plans to replace I-375 on the east side of downtown Detroit with a surface road. Of course, that is the area that was the former home of Paradise Valley and Black Bottom, two majority Black neighborhoods that were destroyed in the 50s and 60s by Lafayette Park and I-375. That we heard earlier today from the Michigan Department of Transportation, which is the agency that's handling all of this, about what their plans actually look like and how they got to this point. Also, we had a conversation about the process of including the community in the discussions about what should replace I-375. Right now, we're talking with John Gallagher, former columnist for the Detroit Free Press, who has been following this project for a really long time. We would love to hear from you as well about what you make of MDOT's plans in downtown Detroit, what you maybe think we should be doing differently with that and how you kind of react to the things that we heard MDOT say about why they've made the decisions they've made. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today and work us into the conversation. John, we've got some callers who want to participate in the conversation. But before we get there, I do want to talk about why MDOT has been handed the entire scope of this project. I mean, obviously they have to be involved. It's a road. It's a federal highway. They're responsible for those highways here in the state of Michigan. And if you were going to change I-375, you couldn't leave them out. But it seems that some of the questions that we're confronting here and some of the issues that we're confronting here go beyond the scope of what an MDOT would reasonably be expected to consider. So can we talk just a little about why there isn't another, I guess, agency or official who is leading this from the state level or the city level to really think about it in the context of these communities, the communities that were destroyed by I-375 in Lafayette Park and the communities that exist now who will have to live with whatever they decide to replace the highway with?
Well, that's a really great question, Stephen. And, you know, American government in general has been criticized for operating in silos where we have, you know, the federal law enforcement versus local, you know, CIA versus NSA. I mean, all these rivalries and so on. And everybody's got their own budgets, their own needs to attract funding and so on. And, you know, you have a state agency like MDOT. You have DDOT, the Detroit City Department, and to what extent do they cooperate? I don't know. But you're right. You're absolutely right. We need a larger vision, a more holistic vision when we plan a project like this, because we're going to be stuck with whatever they do for a very long time, just like we've had 375 now for 60 or 70 years. We're going to be stuck with this new thing for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's start today with Nat in Detroit. Nat, welcome to the show.
Hey, Stephen. Thank you so much. I just wanted to sort of weigh in on this as somebody who's a city planner, not a road engineer. But there's a big distinction there, which a lot of people are unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. But basically, MDOT's preoccupation here is that if they narrow the road, which is what all of the public comments requested. They said, we want a narrower street that has safe options for non-motorized transportation. And that's contention is that if they narrow the road, they will reduce what they call the level of service, which mm-hmm. is basically a sort of obtusely modeled traffic flow. There are no projections in MDOT, within MDOT, that design projects like this without modeling for increased population, increased vehicle miles traveled, which is the metric of how much people drive, and increased vehicular hours traveled. And one of my objections to that is that this agency is talking about how much they value transportation decarbonization, and they want to see a zero carbon future, but they are basically saying, we are going to continue to drive, and we're going to continue to drive more. And one of the most insane things, this is the last thing I'll say, that John Lurie said is that he was like, well, if we narrow the, this is not in this conversation, it's a previous one, he was like, well, If we narrow the roadway from 6 to 4 lanes, we might be taking away people's right to drive. And I was like, this is just an insane amount of money, and we should absolutely be talking about why they think there's only one way to look at this, which involves high-speed thoroughfares. Mm-hmm. All the comments in the public comment were like, 35 miles an hour is way too fast. With the growing size and weight of vehicles, including but not limited to electric vehicles, that will have a demonstrable increase in roadway fatalities, both for drivers and for pedestrians and cyclists, mm-hmm. in which Detroit already leads the nation, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Nat, I really appreciate the call and your insight and the fact that you bring some expertise to the conversation as a city planner. Again, John, this idea that a road is the right way to go and a high capacity road is the thing that a lot of folks are really focused on. And look, there's a balance. I mean, people have become accustomed to the idea that I-375 is there. I mean, there's only 3 exits actually off of that freeway, Lafayette, Larned, and Jefferson. But if you took it away, people would have to find other ways, I guess, to get to those
to those places. You know, I think Nat's point is that that not only that the community has asked for something different, but the way in which we use transit, the way in which we travel, has changed or is changing in a way that maybe is just not reflected here.
Right. Well, as you and Nat both said, you know, people will adjust, and MDOT doesn't allow for that. So just a brief story. At the beginning of the pandemic, my wife and I, who were a two-car family, gave up one of our cars. We donated it, actually, to WDT. Mm-hmm. Always a good thing to do.
Always appreciate that.
And we adjust. So we're a one-car family. We have to do a little more planning in advance for our schedules. And occasionally I'll ride a bike or take a bus somewhere, or she'll drop me off somewhere while she uses the car. But, you know, we get along fine. And I think that if we narrowed the planned 375 replacement, I think people would adjust over time and it would work out. And I think you'd have a better better urban environment on that Lower East Side.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go next to Mike in Detroit. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
My original question was actually going to be, what's the definition of a boulevard? Is it going to be a boulevard like Chicago Boulevard, or is it going to be more like a street like Gratiot or Grand River, which are essentially highways? But I had another question too, which is, MDOT informs us of information, but then they don't stick around to engage in the conversation around that feedback. So how do we have productive conversation with MDOT about this project?
Yeah, great questions, Mike. Let's start, John, with this the community input process, which I asked John Laurie about. He explained what they did. I did ask him why they didn't front that. And when I'm looking around the country at other projects like this, where they're talking about restoring a community that was taken out by a highway, the conversation begins with those communities and what happened, and with the people who are still there about what they would like. That's not how we did it here. He says that they are only about a third of the way through the process, 30%, and that's the time to include people. But I think Mike's frustration is something that I hear quite a bit from people about the process of getting the community's take on this and accounting for them. What is MDOT doing? What would a project like this, I guess, call on them to do? There aren't a whole lot of projects like this going on around the state.
Yeah, you know, there's a phrase, democracy deficit, that's been used about these major projects, where you don't include enough disparate opinions at the front end, and usually because it's so hard to make big projects happen. They take so long, they cost so much money, that you try to just keep it moving forward. But that means that the dissenting opinions don't become part of the process, and the mistakes only come up later when you're too far along in the process. So I think in this case, MDOT does have public hearings, but to me, I've always felt these public hearings with any kind of regulatory process are more window dressing than anything else. I mean, MDOT does listen to the people, but it doesn't seem to change very much. You know, they still plan this, you know, three lanes in each direction, plus all the, you know, turning lanes and so on. And the public reaction, which is mostly to narrow the project, narrow the number of lanes, that doesn't seem to, you know, have much of an impact.
Yeah, yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. Let's go to Frank in South Lyon. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Stephen. I've been involved in this, you know, through transit and affordable housing for, you know, I think I went to the first open house at MDOT at least 10 years ago about this project. Hmm. And I was like one of three people. And even at that point, we, you know, MDOT was, you know, we were having discussions and, you know, with the MDOT people and the federal people and different city people. This was a true acknowledgement of what they use the freeways to, you know, to blast out these, you know, through these neighborhoods. And really, you know, it was an acknowledgement and it was set in, you know, here it is, concrete, you know, it's set in concrete. This is a pure acknowledgement of what we did wrong before. And then to that point of not any engagement, I mean, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, I'm really surprised to hear people say, oh, they haven't listened to us. I would have to say this project, I had, you know, being one of the few, I had a lot to do with it. Concrete, you can put more. Look at all the wide roads we have now. They put in a bike lane. Boom, just like that. So just because it shows three lanes right now doesn't mean that can change. They have no idea how people are going to use it. And I would suggest anybody that's interested in design of anything, read the book, How Buildings Learn. It's a magnificent book about design and how people put so much work into design, and then people use it a totally different way.
Yeah.
And so you need to take that into account. But again, the acknowledgement that this was truly a racist project back in the 50s, that's what this is about.
Yeah. Frank, I really appreciate the call and your perspective as somebody who tried to participate in the planning process here. John, the connection between what they're doing now on I-375 and the histories of Black Bottom and Paradise Valley is probably the most charged point, I think, that this is circling around. As Frank points out, it's where the discussion probably should begin. I don't know that I feel like that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and I also think that we need to acknowledge that, as you've said, Stephen, growing up on the Northwest Side, 96 plowed through your neighborhoods. The Lodge sliced off a good portion of Corktown, 75 through 75, and in the mid 20th century, cities everywhere just destroyed neighborhoods in the name of this greater, more efficient auto traffic. And I think we acknowledging now what a mistake that was, probably the biggest mistake, along with urban renewal, advice to cities, don't destroy neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we acknowledge that, but, what do we do? These projects take so long to plan, so long to build. If we do the one now that MDOT's talking about, well, how long does it take to make it better once it's built? That John talks about, adding transit one day or narrowing lanes one day. Well, when is that? 25 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, we'd be better off doing it right in the first place.
So I want to end with a big question, which is about the idea that, whether we could start from scratch with something like this. One of the points that John Laurie made was that so much of what was decided when they built I-375 is kind of fait accompli. You can't remake things that were destroyed. And I guess I'm not sure I should just accept that as the truth or the inevitable truth. Could we go back and regrid essentially this area in a way that would look and feel like the neighborhoods that were there before? I think there are a lot of people who are at least interested in that idea. MDOT seems to be just rejecting it out of hand. I wonder what's possible if we were to think of it in those terms.
Well, I think, as we've said, we would need some super agency or group of agencies that had equal footing in this discussion.
It'd have to be more than MDOT.
It would have to be more than MDOT. That's what you'd have to have, right?
Yeah. He also said that they're only about 30% through this planning phase. I guess the other question is it too late? Is it too late to turn it back or to add voices in a way that changes what they're planning to do?
Well, I when he says 30%, I think that understates how far along they are. I think that there any changes at this point might be sort of on the fringes. I think they still plan for the three major lanes in each direction, plus the turning lanes and all the rest of it. So, I think it's pretty far along. Now, if enough people complain, if there's enough public discussion, the project isn't built yet, anything's possible. But I think that I really think it we have to reform how we do these projects in the first place so that we don't keep making the same mistakes over and over.
Mm. Okay, John Gallagher, former columnist for the Detroit Free Press. Great to have you here always to talk about things here on Detroit Today, and great to have you here to talk about the I-375 project.
Well, thank you, Stephen. My pleasure.
Detroit Today is produced by Sam Corey and Nick Austin. Our technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan. Our assistant producer is Maddie Boyer. Our music is by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. And podcast editing is by David Lyons. Our program director is Adam Fox. Detroit Today is a production of WDET in Detroit, and you can support the show by leaving a rating or a comment. Thanks for listening.